Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Hey, Patrick, is that an actual print newspaper that you're reading there?
Oh, yeah, Jim. I always like to check up on my horoscope.
I didn't know you were into astrology.
Oh, big time. I'm a Gemini and proud of it.
So don't keep us in suspense here. What's your horoscope for today?
Let's see. Gemini. Today is a good day for badass country and people from Texas. And also, continue to avoid any Phil Collins music this week.
All right, Patrick, so in the new normal, as they like to say, we can't go backstage and interview musicians anymore. Like, first of all, there's no shows.
That's a big problem, yeah.
So I think that's problem number one. And then problem number two is I'm not allowed out of the house, right?
Yeah, same here. Yeah.
So there's a lot of issues here. So instead, what we're doing is setting up some remote interviews. Is something we didn't used to do, but we are doing now because, as I mentioned, it's the new normal. And we thought, you know, why don't we talk with a guy we really enjoyed talking with before when we met him, this guy Jesse Dayton, right?
Absolutely, Jim. It was fantastic of Jesse to give us some of his time and just share what's happening in his world. And it's also really great to talk to somebody in tough times whose spirit doesn't seem diminished at all, you know, who's like just as fired up as he ever was, and maybe even more so in some cases. It gives you some faith when you see all the dark stuff that's happening and the people, you know, who, you know, I think perhaps are making bad decisions. You know, when you hear somebody with a clear, straight head on their shoulders with a sense of humor and compassion, it's really affirming.
I think that's a good way to put it. So, so this is part two of our interview with Jesse Dayton. I know that when we interviewed him before, back in October, and that was at the City Winery in Washington, D.C., we interviewed him before. He was just really fun to hang out with.
Yeah,
and
he was.
So it was great to see him again, even if it was via a video conference. But nevertheless, he tells great stories, and you're going to hear more of those stories today. So, and then just let me say up front here that he does a radio show on an app called Gimme Country, which is free. And the show is on Wednesdays, and it's called Jesse Dayton's Badass Country Show or something like that.
And it truly is.
It really is. Yep. You should listen to that because you do not need to be a country music fan to like this show. Mm-hmm. It is more. I mean, I think it starts with sort of the idea of maybe the outlaw country aspect of the genre, but it, you know, it includes, you know, a healthy amount of rock and roll in there too. So he's a guy who knows all kinds of music and can connect the dots too, which is what makes it really great. And and as you're hearing in this interview, he's such a great talker. You just want more of that, right,
that's
Patrick?
Right. Yeah, you just want to listen to him. And I tell you, full admission, I've been peppering my speech with some of Jesse's colloquialisms since we did this interview. People are like, what the heck are you talking about, Southern as a turnip green? So
that's right. So it looks like, if I'm reading this correctly, the Jesse Dayton's Badass Country Show is every Wednesday at 5 Eastern.
Yep. A great 5 time.
Eastern. Mm-hmm. So there you go. So listen to that. Also, he has a new record coming out called Gulf Coast Sessions.
Yeah.
And go to jessedayton.com for more information on that. And then tonight is his live stream concert.
Yeah.
Tonight, Wednesday, May 27th, Jesse Dayton's birthday live stream concert, 8 p.m. Eastern on his Facebook page. So check that out.
Yeah.
So lots of cool stuff. And I think he's going to do some covers as well in that that live stream show. I think that's what he indicated to us. So I think it'll be a lot of fun. I'm going to check that out for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And the first time we met him, he had, you know, was touring behind an album called Mixtape, where he had basically done a whole bunch of covers. So it'll be good.
Including the Cars,
that's
as
right.
I recall. Yeah.
So there's your country music tie-in, folks.
That's right. That's right. So it's really cool. All right. Let's get on to part two of our interview with Jesse Dayton.
Cool.
Girl, hey, since you were bringing up earlier the influence of country on punk, and you mentioned X, you know, X has a new album, just came out.
Yeah, it's
and
great.
I don't think we talked about this last time, but you toured with X for a little while, replacing Billy Zoom, right?
I did. What was that like? Well, it was very intimidating at first. You know, when you're walking into a band, it's a lot of baggage and a lot of strange dynamics that have been going on for decades before you even got there. So, but it was great. I hung out with Exene every night, man.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had to learn all these songs. I had to learn all these Billy Zoom guitar parts. And John Doe called me and he goes, "Hey, are you sitting down?" I said, "Yeah." And he said, "We have a 40-city tour," I think it was. It was a full U.S. North American tour. And Billy can't go and we can't cancel. Mm-hmm. "So do you want to do it?" And I said, "Absolutely." And so it worked out. And I went on tour with X. I had already been on David Letterman with John Doe. And I'd known John Doe for a while. So it was great. It was amazing. Every night was like running away with the circus.
He's really into like movies and stuff too, isn't he? Would you guys have that in common?
Yeah, well, I actually met John Doe because I cast him in a movie that I was directing.
Okay.
which is a small film that I did called Zombex, which starred, yep, Malcolm McDowell.
Right.
And I wanted Mike Ness for the role because it was a burlesque club owner who was this kind of Irish, you know, guy, not literally Irish, but like, you know, Irish name. Tough kind of inner city guy. And I just saw, you know, Mike Ness from Social Distortion as the guy. And Mike Ness couldn't do it. And he was, "You should get a real actor like John Doe," or, you know. So I called a friend of mine, Nick Tainborn, and he called John, and that's how I met John. And okay. John ended up being in my movie.
Yeah. Okay.
And so. Jesse, just from looking at your Facebook and you know, having our conversation tonight, would you mind talking a little bit about some of the stuff you're writing right now? Like, are you working on a long form thing? Is it a novel or stories, or what exactly are you working on?
Well, so what happened was, if you follow me on Facebook, I write. I go crazy on Facebook.
Really quick, Jesse. Sorry, listeners, follow him on Facebook. The posts are well worth it, man. They're your Little Richard post alone was well worth it. So,
well, thanks, man. And if if you're a baby man with camouflage and a military gun on the steps of some Capitol, you might not like what I've got to say. Okay,
probably not.
But I don't care. You know, I'm here to change the narrative for people with voices like mine. I'm here to show people that I probably read Wuthering Heights more times than you do. And that just because I sound like I'm married to my sister doesn't mean that I should change my colloquial who I am to make feel more comfortable. And I grew up around some people that my parents were the first ones to make it out of the oil field and become academics. But we never lost our heritage and who we were. And so I write a lot about what it is to be me and to be a progressive in this era, to be a pro-science progressive. I tell people I'm a world citizen first, an American second, and a Texan third, and that's not easy for a Texan to say, right? You know, but I'm 6'3", 220, and I come from a scrappy bunch of mix down in East Texas, so I can take care of myself. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? But, you know, this has all been a big spiritual journey, and I write about that a lot on my Facebook. And one night, this friend of mine, Renda Laurel, who she's got book deals for Chuck D. You know, D.
Yeah, Public Enemy. Yep.
Public Enemy, and who else? Mark Lanegan is another one.
Oh, wow, really?
And she's having dinner with this guy from this publishing company. They say, I think it's Hatchet, but I call it Hatchet.
Yeah.
which I'm sure pisses them off, but it's DiCapo Publishing. It's the same company that put out the Steve Jones book, the Replacements book.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so this guy brings up at dinner, you know, hey, I like reading this guy on Facebook. And she goes, oh my God, I know Jesse Dayton. And he's like, it was all just a fluke, you know? And he goes, well, tell him to send me 3 chapters about anything he wants to write about.
Wow.
And so I did. And he gave it. He actually called me the next day and said, this is the first time the board at our thing unanimously agreed on anything. So
is that, I guess, right?
Wow. My point, they gave me a publishing deal, and they gave me an advance, and it's like a real deal.
What were those 3 chapters about, Jesse?
Okay. So the 3 chapters are about me in the General Lee with Waylon Jennings in Nashville.
Nice.
The 2nd chapter is about drinking Jack and Cokes with Bill Clinton at the inaugural ball with Lucinda Williams, and Lucinda Williams treating the Secret Service like the wait staff, saying, can you get me a Jack and Coke too? And which it's a great story. And then the 3rd one is making movies with Rob Zombie.
Yeah. Wow.
So I wrote these 3 chapters, and then I set the heading, what does Bill Clinton, Waylon Jennings, and Rob Zombie all have in common?
So, you know, I'm good. Yeah.
So my point in all this is, listen, man, when you write stuff online, don't ever worry about how many people are following you, because even though you might have 13 people following you, what you say, one of them might be the head of a publishing company in New York City. You never know, man. And one is better than 0, you know? And when I started everything that I started, I've always had to grind it out, man. I've never been like, I've never had the hit song or the big thing, or I've had to grind it out, but I did it because I loved it, and it all grew and grew. And, you know, and these days the tastemakers don't really control anything. The people do. And if you think about your crowd in terms of a subscription base, that you're providing something cool that's worthy of them, then you don't need 1 million people, and you don't need to have, you know, comparison is the thief of joy. As soon as I start thinking about like anybody who's bigger than me or doing better than me, it bums me out. But if I think about just doing my own thing, then it's empowering, man.
So when is the book coming out, or how is that progressing?
It's a 75,000 word book. I don't have any kind of co-writer, but I've wrote before. I wrote 3 scripts, one of which I licensed that never got anything happened, and then one of them which got made. Mm-hmm. I got a background in, you know, creative writing, and I've always kind of been a writer. But the book won't be out till next year, and I'm going to do an audio book that I'll probably read myself.
Oh, you
and
have to.
I'm going to put some music from the people that I played with. And
nice.
It's really a behind the scenes memoirs that doesn't throw anybody under the, I'm the only idiot in the whole book because I do some really stupid shit in the book. But it's all love, man. I mean, anybody that I had a weird time with, I don't even write about them. So it's all just people that I love. But it's also not just blowing smoke up people's dress. Yeah. It's like I'm taking you behind the scenes of You know, me and Doug Somm and Flaco Jimenez and Clifford Antone and at Willie Nelson's recording studio, and what went down and how much pot we smoked before we recorded it. And all, you know, it's like we get into it, Jack. You know what I mean?
Can you send me what you've done so far, Jesse, right now?
Yeah, would you mind?
I'll tell you, I love that picture, too. If you guys go on Jesse's Facebook, there's a photo of Willie wearing Jesse's T-shirt, which is pretty good.
Oh, so, yeah.
Hey, I know what I was going to ask you. So I was listening to your show, your Gimme Country, your show on Gimme Country, I think last week.
Yeah.
And you said something really interesting, because I grew up in Ohio. And, of course, you know, you're from Beaumont, Texas. And you said something the effect of that when you were growing up in Beaumont, that you at that time thought that it was kind of a boring place to be, right?
Sure.
Right? And it wasn't until, like, you got older and you started to go to other places, and then you'd, like, meet somebody, say, from, like, Des Moines or something like that, and be like, oh, wait, I actually had a lot of cool things in my town growing up, but I guess I just didn't appreciate it at the time, right? Reflect a little bit about how you came to sort of appreciate Beaumont, the place you were from, and what you got from growing up there.
Listen, I grew up taking all that stuff for granted. I thought everyone had gumbo in their refrigerator. I thought everyone had seafood gumbo. I thought everybody listened to George Jones and Zydeco music, and you know, Johnny Winter lived two blocks down, so I thought everyone had a, you know, a super white, you know, blues rock and roll star living down the street from them. I didn't know. I didn't know, you know, because I was like, I mean, and luckily, like I said before, my parents had, you know, they went to the University of Texas and changed the trajectory of the family. And so they traveled with us and they turned us on to, you know, books and, you know, music and all kinds of stuff. But I remember when I got older and I started traveling, I was like, man, there is nothing to do here. What do y'all do?
And, right.
You know, they were like making some kind of like Czech food, hang out, listen to the radio. You know what I mean? Right. Like, what a lot of shit going on. So, but I think that music is this kind of universal language. And no matter how bad the corporations F it up, people are always still going to be searching for the real deal, because there's truth in music, and you know, music has done so much for me, and it's not just the opportunities it's given me, but it's made me grow spiritually. And you know, I don't want to go out after this long run of not being aware of, you know, what's going on in the universe. I want to try to embrace all the good stuff I can. And I realize that the more that I do that, the better I feel.
Yeah.
And, you know, not to get too off into this metaphysical bullshit, but it's, so my journey from being this little redneck kid who grew up on literally on Bayou Road was the name of it. I grew up on Bayou Road in Beaumont, and we had alligators and water moccasins, and my Uncle Jack would drive me drunk around town in a monkey shit brown Impala, and you know, empty Jack Daniel bottles would fly out when he'd try not to hit the car in front of him from under the seat. And you know, I had another uncle that, you know, made moonshine in East Texas and shot a bull in the head right in front of me and scared the hell out of me. I mean, I had all this kind of like really crazy stuff like that. But, you know, I lived in two worlds, and my parents had this other thing where they were like, hey, you have to read To Kill a Mockingbird, and you have to read the autobiography of Malcolm X. And, you know, they wanted to make sure that you know, that I wasn't, you know, that I was going to grow.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you spending much time now writing music?
I haven't been writing music because I've been trying to finish the book, but yeah. I have been writing riffs on my guitar.
Oh, cool.
Because I'll get crazy. I got this new guitar amp that Orange Amp sent me. Remember Orange Amps?
Yeah, I got one of those somewhere in my closet, man. I love those things. Those little ones, little crates. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this one's not a little crate, but this one, you know, Orange Amps were always something that I associated with British late 60s, early 70s hard rock music.
Yeah.
And I'm a fan of all that. Like everything before metal that's rock and roll, I'm crazy about. I mean, I have all these little, you know, I'm a big Faces fan. I love, you know, I love the first four ZZ Top records, like they're like family and
hell yeah.
And
when does heavy metal start for you though, Jesse? I'm interested.
Well,
that you said that.
heavy metal hit after the first Van Halen.
Oh, record. All right. Cool. Yeah.
After the first Van Halen record came out, you know, because I'm a little younger than the original punk rock guys.
Yep.
They won't talk to me about this stuff because that's their arch enemy. Right.
Right. In the same boat. Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't have any arch enemies. I'm not monogamous to any motorcycles or any music. Like I got British bikes and Harley Davidsons and Japanese bikes in my shop right now in my backyard.
Right.
And I'm the same way with music. And I thought the first Van Halen record was great and it had kind of a punk edge to it if you listen to Atomic Punk and something like that, you know.
Yeah.
But then when all of those knuckleheads started, you know, putting on makeup and doing like kind of not as good versions of Eddie Van Halen, that's when I went to Clashland.
Exactly. Same here.
And
I
was like, okay, these guys are full of shit. I don't know what Sandinista means, but I'll go to my Dewey Decimal System at the library and figure it out.
Right.
No, exactly right, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't mean that like to be some snotty because I mean, some of the punk rockers that I've talked to about, like, you know, they don't like Montrose because they don't know how fucking cool Montrose was. You know what I mean?
No, I know what you mean.
They're too wimpy to understand. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, well, were you really into punk rock?
Right.
Or were you just into skinny ties and pink suits and keyboards?
You're right. No, you're right, man. And
you know what
goes,
I mean?
Yeah, that goes back to having no prejudice. Like you said, you've got to be able to accept Montrose on their terms. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you know, plus I'm just older now, you know, and I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's a good feeling.
And it is. It's so liberating, you know. And I watched that documentary the other night, Murder on the Front Row.
Yeah.
And I bought the first Metallica record when it came out just because I thought these guys are so ugly. It reminds me of Motorhead.
I know.
Like, you know what I mean? I mean, not ugly in a, but they look the opposite of all these bozos, you know.
They all had so much bad acne on the cover of that album.
Yeah. And you know, and it was great.
Yeah.
And you know, when I played with Waylon, James Hetfield's father was a huge Waylon fan.
Really?
And I did this song with Waylon by Paul Simon, of all people, called The Boxer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You ever heard that song?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And so Waylon totally Waylonized the whole song, like, just to come on from the horse on 7th Avenue. And just kicked its ass, right? And I put this really weird guitar lead on it with a wah-wah pedal, but it's a telly, so it's really like this funky country thing. And James Hetfield's dad bought that record, and Hetfield heard him listening to it. Wow. And Hetfield wrote that that was his favorite solo that year in guitar player.
No way, really?
And check this out. So I'm in the studio with Waylon one day, and I walk in, and Waylon comes in there and goes, "Well, Hoss, they want me to do the Lola Falana show." And I go, "Lola Falana? Isn't that like super hot black dancer chick?" Like, and he goes, "I don't know." And he walked out. And about 5 seconds later, his manager, Nikki, walks in and goes, "Have you heard the news? Metallica got us on Lollapalooza."
That is too classic.
So
it's right up to date. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's why I say this genre stuff is a bunch of bullshit. You know what I mean?
That's right. Oh.
This is why you should listen to Badass Country Radio.
That's absolutely.
Oh, we got a lot of metal guys that like my show, man.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah.
That is too good.
All right. Well, hey.
All right, guys.
Thanks very much, Jesse, for coming on again. We so appreciate it.
Good to see you guys again.
Yeah, glad to hear, you know, things are going well for you.
And Jesse, you have something new coming out, is that right? I was looking on Facebook, you have a single you can download if you sign up for your newsletter.
Yep, I got a new single. Not too long ago, I went in with my buddy and I recorded all this Gulf Coast kind of
That's right, Gulf Coast stuff. Sessions, right? Yeah.
And I played everything on it. I played drums, bass, piano, guitar.
Sweet.
And we laugh, you know, we made names up of all the people I was supposed to be because, you know, the drummer was like, "We could only afford Peanut. He wasn't that good." But, like, that was our joke, you know.
It worked for scale.
Yeah, it worked for free. And so it ended up turning out to be better than I thought. So I thought, what the hell? So the label heard it, and they want to listen. They want to release it. So sweet, if you go to jessedayton.com, yep, sign up for my newsletter, you'll get some free music, and it's an awesome deal.
That's great.
I did it today, and it works, folks. I got the single downloaded, so it's great.
Cool.
That's exciting, man. And you know, I know you have some tour dates scheduled in September, Jesse. Hopefully, you know, we'll come through this a little better, and you'll be able to do that in some sort of safe way. So
yeah,
we'll see where it all goes. And
next time I'm in D.C. let's go dinner, man. Let's go break bread and hang out. And
I would love that.
Yeah.
We'll do that.
Just don't bring me home at 5 a.m. All right.
I might never know.
Yeah. Cause if I get out of the limo, it's not going to cut it with Jim's wife. Believe me. I've already tried that.
Not to mention, I won't save you. I'm not cool enough.
I don't know. You might be able to actually.
If they look out there and see it's Jesse Day, like, I don't know who that is, dude. You're in big trouble.
Actually, dude, that might work. I think we'll be all right there.
All right. Thanks, man. Glad to hear everything's going well for you. And
yeah, brother. You
we'll
too.
We'll see you again sometime.
All right, guys. Take care.
Thanks for your time, Jesse. And my chemical girl, she got a look in her eye. Pulled out a Dennis 38. The bullet started to fly. She was a shooting off the roof. So we all did what she said.
All right, Patrick, I don't know about you, but I could listen to Jesse talk all day.
All week. if he would come in and do a guest week for us, that's the next step. We'll ask him about that. But yeah, so much wisdom and stuff. And one thing that really stuck with me during this conversation, really, wasn't so much of an interview, it was just a chat. But I loved it when he said, "Comparison is the thief of joy." That was such a smart thing that he said, and it really resonated with me, you know, and especially during these times. Definitely be thankful for the stuff that makes you happy and not worry about you know, what's happening with anybody else or any other thing. I just think that's great advice all around. So it was great. And for a man who describes himself as a world citizen, American, and Texan in that order, he's a pretty great dude. So.
Well, let me just say, though, if, you know, Jesse wants to pass this on to the guy he mentioned who runs Gimme Country, if they want to start like a,
sure,
you know, Gimme Indie Rock or Gimme, what you know, Gimme Power Pop or anything like that, right? Yep. Then, you know, give us a ring. We can help you. We can help you launch that.
That's right.
We'll figure something out. Yeah. But, you know, we are well versed in many genres of rock and or roll. So
there you go.
So let's bring that on. All right. What else do we want to say? Oh, and also Jesse's book.
That's right.
Would be fun. Mm-hmm. He's working on that now. He's still writing it, but I look forward to reading that one.
That's going to be fantastic. What did he say? He's the only idiot in the whole book or something like that.
That's right.
It's going to be great.
Great stuff. Okay. All right, let's get out of here. Tomorrow we have another interview. It's different. It's very different. I'm not going to say too much right now. I'm just going to tease it, but it's something we've been working on for a long time, and you're finally going to get to hear it. Finally. All right, let's get out of here.
Sounds good.
Oh, if anybody has any comments about Jesse Dayton or country music or, I don't know, you know, Lemmy or Bill Clinton or... who else was
Lola Falana?
That's right. Rob Zombie, any of those people, John Doe, what have you. Anything that we touched on these last 2 days, you can call and leave a message,
612-440-1984.
Or you can email rock@suburbspod.com, or you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all those at Suburbs Pod. Also, our website has been redone. We're still doing some tinkering with it, but check that out. And thanks to intern Sam for his work as well.
Always.
Suburbspod.com. Please rate and review our show.
Yeah.
Rockin' the Suburbs on iTunes. Nobody's done that in a while, and that would really help us out. We don't really mention it very often. Oh, and then one more thing. You can sign up for our newsletter at suburbspod.com. I'm trying to get everything in now because we probably have a lot of people, you know, who wanted to listen to the Jesse Dayton thing.
That's right.
Trying to get all of our promos in. Sign up for our newsletter at suburbspod.com. Click on newsletter. The newsletter is really fun. We enjoy putting it together, and I think people enjoy reading it. That comes out every Friday. And then also, one more thing. The merch table is also at suburbspod.com. And that's the thing we don't really promote enough. But you can buy t-shirts, bottle openers, or pint glasses.
Yeah, our big
seller. All those at suburbspod.com. So get in on that. You're just sitting around the house, so you're probably wearing a shirt, we think. But it doesn't have to be a nice shirt. So that's, you know, just a t-shirt. You can work in that when you're at home.
They're comfortable.
You're probably drinking a beer or two, so the pint glass will come in handy. And then, of course, you need the bottle opener to open the bottle in the first place.
Exactly right.
So all those things will come in handy. They're useful.
Total utilitarian stuff, Jim. And when you want to go outside, you can go outside and put a sticker on your car. So
that's right, the stickers too.
Stickers are the other thing.
And domestic shipping, only $5, no matter how many things you order, right?
And extra ephemera included. No charge.
Right. All right, let's get out of here. It's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
I'm not monogamous to any motorcycles or any music.